This is episode 85 of the Wildlife Photography Podcast. In this episode, stick with the sighting you have. Hi everybody, my name is Jerry, I'm from WildEye, and I want to chat in this episode a little bit about bush FOMO. Yeah, bush FOMO, fear of missing out. Now, regardless of where you go on safari, and I've seen this in every single safari we've been on, I've seen this on self-drive safaris, I've seen this on walking safaris, I've seen this on charter vessels where we've been, anywhere where you go to photograph wildlife, there is always this thing, this bush FOMO hanging around. Now, what it is, I've said this in the past in blogs and videos and stuff, but you should always stick with the sighting you have. Why? Here's the thing. We never know what's going to happen out there. You can go out today, drive around the Pilanesberg, Modikwe, Sabi Sands, Masai Mara, wherever you go, and see nothing. It is nature. We don't know where things are. We don't know what they're doing. And we don't know how long they're going to be doing it for. So what happens is people go, we drive around, and we find lions, right? It's 3:30. We left at 3 o'clock because it's winter. We find these lions sleeping under a tree. There's a big male. There's three females, but they're fast asleep. So we get there. We sit for 15 minutes. At this point, some people start getting FOMO and they start wondering what else is happening out there. You start thinking, yo, we drove past that waterhole. I wonder if there's something there. I wonder what that leopard was doing on the mountain we saw yesterday. And then you ask the guide, listen, is there anything else on the radio? Instead of just enjoying the experience of being out in nature and sitting with four apex predators right there. Okay, so what happened recently, I'll get back to this. I was in Wangi about a week or so ago, and on the very first afternoon, we find a pride of lions. Now, for those of you, if it means anything to you, this was Cecil's pride, the lion that was poached a little while ago, and the whole world went apeshit. So we find Cecil pride, and sorry, just a sideline note here. Did you guys ever see my rabbit holes? A while ago, Cecil got shot like 2 years ago by the hunter, and it was all illegal, and they buried the tracker, whatever. And so he gets shot and the world goes mad. And then about a year after this pride that we saw comes to some other lodge waterhole, more or less a year from him being shot. So someone takes a picture of this, they post it on social media and they say, oh my God, this is incredible. Cecil's pride came to pay homage to him. What the actual hell? Are you joking? The cats were thirsty, they had a drink. So people tend to get very excited about the whole Cecil's pride thing. Maybe a discussion for another time. But anyway, back to my story. We find Cecil's pride. You see, I go down rabbit holes. We find Cecil's pride on this first afternoon and we watch them for a while. They're at this waterhole. So there's 11 of them. They're at this rather large, more like a small dam, right? Where they're laying around and they're scattered around the dam. So there is phenomenal photographic potential. It's about 4:30 or 5 o'clock and we settle in. So we start photographing, one of them walks halfway around the dam, joins the rest. So when lions walk towards each other, for those of you that know, there will always be some kind of interaction, the head, the necking or the nuzzling. So whenever lions join up, one laying there, there'll be phenomenal photographic opportunities. So you just track the one that's moving, follow them in and then take a couple of shots. So this happens a couple of times, the male gets up, he walks into the group of females. It's a great sighting. But even more than that, it has phenomenal potential as the light softens and turns golden and stuff. So next thing, so I've got two vehicles, right? I'm on the one and my guests are split over the two vehicles. It's a private guided trip. And on the radio, Robert, our guide, says to us, listen, they found the leopard, shall we go? Now, here's what happens. All the people who obviously suffer from a little bit of bush FOMO, and look, I've got it at times as well, say, go, 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 we got to look at the leopard. So I say to everybody, just calm down to a mild panic, right? Let's calm down to a mild panic. I say to Robert, right, answer me these three things. Number one, how far is it? He says, no, it's about 20 minutes. I say, okay, cool. Next thing, what is the animal doing? No, it's stationary right now, right? Actually, four things. Now, next one is, what is the visual like? Like, I mean, often a leopard is the spot of a tail sticking through a thicket. He says, no, it's good visual. And then he says to me, I ask him, and tell me, what is the area around the cat like? As in, is it very thick? Is it open grasslands? Is it sodic sites? Whatever the case is. And he says, no, it's open. So I say to the guest, okay, guys, listen, we can leave right now. We did it in about 12, which was 20 minutes. We can be there in 12 minutes. understand, we are going to leave a sighting that is a given. We have this, yes? It has, it's already producing good photography. It is going to produce even better photography a couple of minutes down the line because the sun's turning golden. We are leaving this for a maybe, yeah? I checked all four my questions. So how far, what is it doing, what is the visual like, and what is the area around the animal look like? All checked out. So I said to them, listen, your call. So obviously leopard in Wangi is not always a very common thing. So we headed out. We did some low flying to get there. We got it and it was a great sighting. Now, for you, if you ever do a self-drive, if you come with me and my guides, we will manage the process for you and we will kind of roll the dice from a more educated guest point of view. Is it worth chasing sightings? My first bet is always stick with the sighting you have. Because people don't, and this is a previous episode of the podcast as well, people don't always realize that, you know what, yes, you might not be able to see that leopard, but think about it. He's in this thicket, there's 100 meters of nothing around the thicket, and there's a tree with the sun setting behind it, 100 meters that side. What do you think he's going to do? He has to come out at some stage, so why not roll the dice and wait? And maybe it's a thing of the world we live in. We are so, our attention spans like that of a goldfish, yeah? We just want to kind of, okay, now Instagram, now Twitter, now Snapchat, now back to Instagram, now I'm going to check my email, now I'm going to quickly see what's on Netflix, back to Instagram, back to Twitter. That's the attention we live in. So when you get to the bush, I urge you to slow down. Live in the moment, stick with the sighting you have and let it develop. And it's a funny thing that happens. And for those of you that have been on safari, you'll know how it works. You find the sighting, lions, and the sun's still up, but it's busy slowly going down because that's what the sun does. Jerry, focus. Sorry. And you sit for a half an hour, turns into an hour, the lion flicks an ear, it gets to an hour and a half, 2 hours. Now you start thinking to yourself, shit, should we leave? Maybe we should go because they're not doing anything. But there's this funny point of no return where regardless of what else is out there, it becomes personal. And I'm not going to leave now. I'm not going to leave because maybe these cats do something. So I'm always in the camp of let's stay with the sighting we have because it gives you time to kind of just unwind, get into bush time, get into Africa time. Imagine your shots, visualize your shots, which is vital in wildlife photography. And it's just, it's great being out there. The longest I've sat personally waited for a lioness to climb down. She was up a tree. Was just short of 7 hours. And after 7 hours, she jumped in the wrong direction and nobody got a shot. However, it was a phenomenal afternoon. So my advice, always stick with the sighting you have. If you hear of something else, ask those four questions. How far away is it? What is it currently doing? If it's moving, don't bother because it's going to move. While you drive there for 20 minutes, it's going to move away. So how far is it? What is it doing? What is the visual like? And ask for photographic visual. So my guides in Kenya, for example, know if I ask what's the photography like, they give me a 1 to 5 rating. I mean, if it's a 1 out of 5, I'm not going to bother. If it's a 4 out of 5 turning into 5, I'm going. And then the last one is what is the area around the animal like? Because then you're upping your chances. If you really want to see that leopard, you know you can give it a shot. So yeah, bush FOMO. It's an interesting thing. I think we all have a little bit of it. My advice, always stick with the sighting you have. Anyway, guys, just a short one. Hope all's well your side. I look forward to chatting to you online. Jerry van der Walt on all the major networks, major social platforms, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook, of course. Let me know if you have any questions. Episode 90, remember, every 10 episodes is a Q&A episode. I've got a couple lined up already. There's space for more. If you have any wildlife photography-related questions, send them through, and I will include them in episode 90. As always, thanks for listening, guys. I'll chat to you in the next episode. My name is Jerry. I'm from Wild Eye. Have a good one.